Morning, church. Pretty nice morning so far. We'll take that. Today's Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 21. This passage comes right after Jesus was anointed by the sinful woman, or as it was so beautifully put last week, the forgiven woman. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice."
Morning, everyone. Good to be with you this morning. My name's Mitch. I'm one of the pastors here. A special warm welcome to you if this is your first time with us. Hey, keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 8 this morning. That's where we're going to be spending our time. But let's pray together before we take a closer look. Lord, you tell us to consider carefully how we hear. So we ask that you'd help us do that now. As we sit under your word, help us to hear what you have to say to us today. I pray this in your son's name. Amen. Well, imagine for a moment you are going about your everyday life when you get a text on your phone. It's from a good friend or a dear relative, and it says something like, "Hey, I need some help. Can you give me a call?" Or, "Hey, I've got some exciting news. Give me a call back." And you see this notification on your phone and you go, okay, I'll get to that later. And you don't bother responding. Of course, none of us would do that. I did say good friend or dear relative. When we hear a message like that, we respond, don't we? A response is essential if we've really heard what that person is saying to us. To really hear is to respond, to be moved to action. And this is what our passage in Luke chapter 8 is all about today. That's what we're going to be thinking through as we look closer at this passage. So come with me down, come down to verse 5 with me. We'll come back to those first couple of verses later on. But down at verse 5, Jesus says that a farmer is out sowing seed. And the seed is just going everywhere. So it's falling on all different types of soil. The first type of soil is incredibly hard. It's so hard, it's become almost like a concrete footpath. The continual foot traffic of people, of animals, of carts, has compacted the soil so much that the seed just lands on top. This seed doesn't even have a chance to sink into the soil. And because of this, it just gets trampled even more by the people, by the animals, by the carts that walk along the path. Or the birds, they come in and they see the seed just lying there on top and they come in and they eat it up. That's the first soil, the hard soil. The second soil, Jesus says in verse 6, is rocky ground. Now, I don't know if I had a kid's picture book when I was younger, but I always used to think about this as like an image of soil with lots of pebbles on top. So it was hard for the seed to get through the cracks and get down to the soil. That's actually not what Jesus is talking about here. See, for farmers in the first century here in this region of Galilee, of the Judean hills, of Samaria, they knew that there was always a possibility that where they were sowing seed, there could be a large hidden bedrock of limestone not too far beneath the surface of the soil. And so if they planted crop in this shallow soil, this rocky soil, it would actually initially look really promising. Because the soil was nice and warm, the plants that would actually look like initially, they were really thriving. But this wouldn't last because the soil was not deep. It didn't have enough moisture or depth for the plant to set down deep roots to sustain itself. So disappointingly, after not too long, these plants would eventually wither in the heat. So that's the second soil, the shallow soil. The third soil is full of thorns. This is kind of a picture of all these other weeds growing in and amongst the grain. These weeds, they take the sunlight, they take the moisture, they take the nutrients that this plant needs. Because of the presence of these other weedy plants, the seedling that sprouted from the seed is unable to grow and mature. It lacks what is essential for its growth and development, so it dies under the choking presence of these weeds. That's the third soil, soil full of weeds. And then the last soil, Jesus says in verse 8, is good soil. Good soil that allows the seed to get in and grow. It provides what the seed needs to become a fully fledged, mature plant. A plant that yields a healthy crop, that does what the farmer wants it to do. The whole purpose of him sowing in the first place is to get a greater return than the amount that was sown. This good soil allows that to happen. That's the fourth soil, good soil. Then after this, Jesus says, his Jesus' disciples, they ask him, Jesus, what does this mean? And Jesus gives an interesting response. Look again at verse 10. He says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. Jesus is saying, to you guys, my disciples, God is revealing secrets or mysteries or knowledge of the kingdom of God through my preaching, through Jesus' preaching, through what he is telling them. But to others, to the casual hearer, his teaching in parables actually has the opposite effect. One commentator puts it like this. He says, Parables can both reveal and conceal truth. It reveals truth to the one who really wants to hear, who wants to look deeper and to understand, but it conceals truth to the casual hearer, to the one who is indifferent. Jesus, he goes on in verse 11 to explain this parable. Like we heard in the kids' talk, the seed is the word of God, and the soil are different types of hearers. So let's look at each of these hearers more closely. Firstly, the seed that falls on the path, Jesus says in verse 12, are the ones who hear the word of God, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Like the hard soil, where the seed cannot get in, these hearers have hearts that do not allow the word of God in. They hear, but do not believe. Now, our temptation when we hear this is to go, oh, yeah, I know that person. That's my colleague at work who is actually quite hostile to Christianity. And so I try to avoid anything coming up with them because I know they actually deep down think Christianity is really harmful. Or I know that's my neighbor who, you know, when I'm on my way out to church on a Sunday morning, they like to kind of get in and have a little subtle dig at being someone who goes to church. Our temptation is to immediately look at others and put them in this basket and think this one doesn't apply to me. But we shouldn't just skip past this, because the reality is we are not immune to hard hearts that show no response to God's word. We're not immune to the experience of reading or hearing God's word and thinking, I don't need to respond to this. I've got this part under control. I don't struggle with that sin. That's not an issue for me. Satan is looking to take advantage of those moments. Jesus says, carefully consider how you listen. So when you listen to God, when you are taking in what he says in his word, be aware the devil is looking to steal that seed, to stop it from getting in and bearing fruit. So when you approach God's word, always, always do it with humility. Always come with an attitude of wanting to really hear and allow it to sink deep into your heart. Next, the seed that falls on the shallow soil, Jesus says in verse 13, are hearers who initially receive the word with joy. They believe for a while, but they have no deep roots. So when hardship and testing comes, they fall away. They give up. Like the plant on the shallow soil that initially it seems really promising. There's a response. There's that first bit of growth, but eventually it actually doesn't last. And this is devastating when this happens, right? I'm sure many of us can think of people we love who we've seen this kind of response. There's a response to the gospel. They say the right things. They pray the right things. They get baptized. They're involved in church, but they have no roots. So when difficulty comes, they give it up. How do we know if we have deep roots? Well, if you've made it through the other side of suffering or hardship, that's a pretty good sign. Your roots have been deep enough to keep you nourished through the difficulty, whether it be health challenges, grief, unemployment, existential challenges to your faith. Deep roots are what help us get through. And when I'm talking about deep roots here, I'm not just talking about knowing all the answers. I'm not talking about having a theological degree to help you get through. Intellect will only get you so far through hardship. But I'm also not just talking about sort of the emotional side and having all the right feelings, always feeling God's presence, always feeling his closeness. We won't always feel close to God. We won't always have the right answers. I'm listening to an audiobook on heaven at the moment, and the author, he kind of shares how what prompted him to write this book on heaven was the death of his son. And in this chapter I was listening to just last week, he was talking about how tragedy is just part of human existence. And somewhere along the line, it seems like Christians have developed this idea that every cloud has a silver lining is a verse in the Bible, when it's not there. And he's got this really great quote. I love the way he just phrases this. He goes, "There are pains that we carry our entire lives, which God never supplies a suitable revelation for his purposes. We are all going to carry unresolved, deeply aggravating questions to our graves." If you don't have any of those questions yet, you will. We need deep roots to live with those kind of questions. Roots that go beyond dry intellect, yet at the same time need to run deeper than just superficial emotions. We need a healthy balance of both things, heads and hearts that are transformed by the gospel. Jen Wilkham says, "The heart can't love what the head doesn't know." We need to be building our knowledge and understanding of God. Intellectual truths about who God is, what his character is like, how safe and secure our salvation is in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Deep intellectual truths that keep us deeply rooted in trials. And at the same time, not forgetting that we have an emotional relationship with God, one where we bring our concerns, our worries, our questions, our anger, our fear, our doubt, our weariness, our emotions to God in prayer. To have deep roots, we need to have heads and hearts that are transformed by the gospel. Heads that are informed and convinced of essential truths, and hearts that are captured by the beauty of God's character and cultivated by intimacy with him. Thirdly, the seed that falls on the soil full of weeds, Jesus says in verse 14, represents those who hear, but as they go, they get choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Worries, riches, and pleasures. Does that not just sound exactly like life in the Adelaide Hills in 2025? Anxiety, money, comfort. Could there be three more prevalent, powerful forces at play in our lives right now? Could there be three more culturally relevant idols of our day? We as a society are so anxious and worried and nervous about what the future holds. We're incredibly rich, but we're not content. We continually long for more and more and more. We worship comfort. We don't want physical discomfort. We don't want financial discomfort. We don't want emotional discomfort. We don't want social discomfort. So what's at risk for the hearer? Well, this hearer remains an infant. They never make it to maturity. They never really know the joy and the peace and the comfort and the life that comes with casting our anxieties on the one who cares for them, that comes with valuing God above all worldly treasures, that comes with resting in the eternal comfort that we have in God. They miss out on that. I think we are at real risk of this. Now, there are some questions that we can ask to help us see where we're at risk of this. Questions like, what of my worries feel too big and too difficult for God to handle? Questions like, What are the things in my life that if God were to take away from me, I could never forgive him? Or what about questions like, I will do anything for God except fill in the blank. These are the kind of questions that help us identify the idols in our lives. They help us see the worries and the riches and the pleasures that are at risk of choking us out and stopping us from maturing. Do the worries, riches, and pleasures of life have such a strong pull on your heart that they stop you from responding to God's word? Then lastly, the good soil, Jesus says in verse 15, stands for the hearer who, with a noble and good heart, hears the word, retains it, and by persevering, produces a crop. While the NIV, which we're reading, translates this as retain, many of the other translations, I think, capture it better when they say hold fast. Eugene Peterson, in his sort of paraphrase of the passage in the Message, he says, those who seize the word and hold on to it, no matter what. This is the hearer who hears and grasps hold. They cling to it. They don't let go because the one who has a noble and good heart receives the word of God for what it truly is, God's word. It's not something we get to pick and choose which parts we like and dislike. It's not something we use as a weapon to win arguments with. It's not just a textbook that we analyze and study. No, it's God's word which is to be obeyed. And this hearer perseveres and bears fruit. They live out a long, slow obedience to God. It's not something that springs up overnight. It requires long perseverance, steadily remaining in his word, listening to him, and by persevering, producing a crop. So what does that actually look like practically? What are some tangible things we can draw on? Well, I actually think we've got three sort of examples we can draw out from our reading this morning of what it looks like to be someone who is careful how they listen and produces this crop. The first one is the women from the start of the chapter. Come back to verse 1, where it says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now, we don't actually get a whole lot of information about these women, right? Just that they'd been, that they've received healing from Jesus. Like, for example, this is the only mention we get of Susanna in the whole New Testament, and we hardly know anything about her, yet clearly she is significant enough to the funding of Jesus' ministry that Luke mentions her. It was not common at all for a first century rabbi to allow women into his closest followers, but clearly these women play a big role in Jesus' ministry. These women had heard the word of God and are responding to it with their money. They are so captured by and gripped by the good news of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is spreading that they want to fund it, to keep going out. Does how you spend your money reflect what you are captured and gripped by? Does it reflect what you value deeply? This is a very hard question for anyone other than yourself to answer. We are very private about what we do with our money. It's something we can very easily keep secret from others. Those of the good soil value the spread of the gospel and the expansion of the kingdom of God above everything else, and that's evident in the way they use their money. The next example from the text is come down to verse 16 to 18. Jesus says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them." We don't have a ton of time to go super deep into this, but Jesus, he's just finished talking about this good soil. What does it look like to be good soil? It looks like persevering and producing a crop. What does that mean, Jesus? Well, it means being a lamp. Being a lamp for others so that they can see the light, so that they can see this day which is coming when everything will be revealed. When Jesus will return and pass judgment on everyone, that day is coming, says Jesus, so consider carefully how you listen. Those who have will be given more. That is, those who have listened and obeyed will more and more experience the joy of being in Christ. But those who think that they have life or meaning or hope outside of God, those things will be taken from them. This is a coming reality, Jesus says. So consider carefully how you listen. Those of the good soil know that this is a coming reality, and they allow that reality to shape the way they listen and respond to God's word. And the last example is from verses 19 to 21, and we'll finish with this. It says, "Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you.' He replied, 'My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice.' Who is my true family? Jesus says it's those who hear God's word and put it into practice. That's who Jesus' real family is. That's who the good soil are. Those who hear the word, who retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. By persevering, slowly but surely, begin to look more and more like Jesus, to live obediently and to love God wholeheartedly. Let's pray. Our Lord, this is a challenging passage, and there's a lot we could put into practice here. There's a lot that can really turn us inward and in a good way really reflect on and assess our own response to you, to reflect on our obedience, to reflect on our habits and behaviours. That's a good thing, God, and we want to do that. But we also don't want to walk away from this passage this morning just with an attitude of, okay, we need to do better. Lord, that would really only be a band-aid solution. Rather, God, would you give us a deeper love? Help us to love your word, to love you with such a deep love that impacts all areas of our lives. And in amongst that, Lord, just knowing that you are the one who loved us so deeply that you died for us. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.
These are actually some of my favourite types of sermons, the ones that make you look inward, that challenge you, cause you to reflect, as Mitch said. And I think it's only natural, at least when I do that, to realise my own mistakes, to realise when I have not loved God, when I have not obeyed him. And so together, I think it's very appropriate we come to a time of confession. So the words should be up on the screen together. Almighty and eternal God, we confess and acknowledge